There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hello and welcome. You're tuned into the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis, on this Supernatural News Parishare Day. We got a lot of news and some big news for Tim. He doesn't even know about this yet.
I don't.
B-I-G-N-E-W-S. Big news. That's what I spelled. Yeah, big news.
Oh, if you don't put the space in there, it's big news.
Big news. Well, this is. It is so big, it should just be one giant word, big news.
Or it'd be big, so, news, which is, I believe, a Russian word for something. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought that sounded like beignet, which is French, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Beignet is a delicious donutty type substance, which you can get in New Orleans, which I love.
Oh, I thought that was the rub that you put on achy joints.
Beignet. Oh, I need some of that today, too. Holy cow. Yeah.
Beignet. Never stop. Thank you.
Hello.
All right. Hey, a couple cool things, kids. The holidays are upon us. That means that Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all rubbernecking into one another. Plus, people have these things called birthdays between now and then, Tim. I know I do.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. Right around the time Kennedy was shot.
Yeah, 54 years old this November 22nd. I love sharing that day with the assassination of one of the most beloved presidents. Boy, am I a lucky guy.
Yes, you are.
No, not at all. But hey, listen, we've got an Amazon store. If you go to darknessradio.com, click on the store tab, you can actually access our Amazon store. What we do is we put in cool paranormal swag, games, toys, fun stuff, clothing, apparel, all kinds of cool stuff from Amazon. And there's also a section for all of the books we cover on the show and all the true crime books that we cover on the show. And a very small portion of every purchase goes directly into my pocket. So just think about that, folks. You're feeding me and my family by purchasing things you would normally buy anyway. So what you do is once you go into that, you favorite that or bookmark that link. So every time you go into Amazon, you use that link. I just get a very small little sliver of money that comes my way. That's all. It doesn't take anything away from the person selling. It's just a part of the affiliate program. But lots of cool stuff there. But damn it, that's too impersonal, Dave. Boy, I wish there was a better gift out there, something that would really reach to the people that I love. Well, don't worry about it. There is. Dave Schrader's on Cameo. That's right, Tim. Did you know that you can have Dave Schrader wish you a happy birthday, a happy anniversary, a happy Halloween? Just, hey, congratulations on the new job. Congratulations on the new divorce. Congratulations on the new marriage. Maybe you even want me to break up with somebody for you.
Wow.
I'll do it. I'm a whore.
You do that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you just you hire me. Mm-hmm. It's real simple on Cameo, and I'll have a link up for it on today's program guide. You just go into Cameo. You can book me, and I'll go and wish you and yours a very happy holidays, happy birthday, any kind of message that you want me to deliver. Maybe it's that time. Hey, listen, Becca, Chris asked me to reach out to you, and it's been a wonderful run, Becca, but you know what? Times, they are a-changing, as Bob Dylan once told us. And, well, you know what? Why waste any more time together and have to buy each other Christmas presents when the love is gone? So this is from your buddy to you. It's over. Get over it. Move on. And if you need some phone numbers, Becca, give me a call, because I know some people that are looking for love in all the wrong places, and it's time I put them in the right place. See, it could be just that simple.
Will you sing a few bars of After the Love is Gone with that message?
I can't, because then it becomes a much more expensive message, because I have to pay ASCAP and BMI.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why we don't have music really on this show, because of greedy, greedy musicians, those sons of bitches.
Wow.
No, that's the way they make their money. I'm just kidding.
Wow.
But we can't do it. So all those podcasts you listen to mm-hmm. that are playing music, mm-hmm. they're doing it illegally, folks. Turn them in. It's the best thing you could do for them. Really, it's the best thing you could do for them. Break them and send them back home to a real job so that Tim and I can continue to, sit atop the heap of the paranormal podcasts out there.
We'd appreciate it.
Let's address a few things. I put out a video a few days ago. I think it's the most watched video I think I've ever put up.
yes,
and it is. Here it is. I subtitled it "Big News the Rest of the Paranormal World Doesn't Want You to Know," and it's true. Many of them prefer that you just contact me instead of them, so that you're not filling their email boxes. But somehow, somewhere along the way, Tim, because of our connection to every known paranormal personality, author, musician, and investigator. Mm-hmm. I've somehow become the go-between. So I get emails all the time from people that are positive that Chris Fleming is their soulmate or that Zach Bagans makes sweet, sweet love to them in their dreams and it's time that they get together physically. Or that Aaron Goodwin is the illegitimate father of their puppies. I don't know. Just weird-ass emails like that. And they're trying to connect with the celebrities, and somehow I've become the paranormal roadie.
Well, I thought you were. I mean, I enjoyed the service I was getting for many, many years, and I was shocked.
You're on the show with me. We're sharing those moments. So, then I don't mind connecting you because you're part of Darkness Radio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But see, the problem is, Tim, is that people write to me wanting advice on how to attract those celebrities.
Oh.
Listen, just because I've had sex with Zach Bagans doesn't mean that you can, folks.
Right.
Yeah. No, I don't. How the hell would I know? I don't get it. And some of it sometimes I just think has got to be funny. They've got to be joking. Obviously, I've had 2 billion requests since then of people being funny. But
no, they're not being funny, Dave. They think that you can magically get a hold of them. Yeah,
I've actually, something I didn't say in that video, what makes it worse is I have been at locations. My favorite was at the Stanley Hotel when we began our run of doing live events. And I was standing at the bar and this beautiful, beautiful woman approaches me and she's talking to me and I have my arm kind of resting on the bar. And as we're talking and chatting, her hand slowly starts rubbing mine. And I'm like, hey, where's this going?
Yeah.
And then she, after the 15 minutes, customary, she's not a whore. We waited 15 minutes of talking before she offered me favors.
Ooh.
She said, how about if I take you upstairs and, I give you an oral dissertation on, ghost hunting.
Yeah.
And then if I do that for you, will you introduce me to Chris Fleming?
What?
Who at this point is standing 5 feet away from me talking to people.
Huh?
And I kind of looked at her and I looked at Chris and I looked at her and I go, he's standing right there and he's hired to be here and talk to people. You could probably just go over. She's like, well, I just thought maybe if I did something special for you, you could help connect me because I really feel like I need to be with Chris Fleming. So I turned to Chris and I go, hey, Chris, this lady thinks she needs to be with you. Can you talk to her? And I turned around and walked away.
That's direct. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And here's the deal. She was striking. Why not just walk over?
Yeah.
Just go have that little conversation. But look, it could have played in my favor because, gosh, who doesn't like oral dissertations about ghost hunting?
Sure. Yep.
But I felt that this was wrong. I did leave out a very nasty chunk. My actual first retort was much crueler.
Mm-hmm.
And then I pointed her in his direction and called out his name so that he could just meet her. Oh, we're getting a phone call.
Oh, hold on. Yeah. Okay.
Let's see.
Sure.
Hello. This is Dave Schrader. How can I help you? Jody at the front desk. What's going on?
Hi, Jody.
Okay, Jody. I will be down and grab my package in a bit. Thank you. Bye-bye. I was just informed I am such a dork. Apparently, Jody doesn't want me to come down to the front desk and grab my package. So, not sure how to handle that.
Oh, my.
Anyway, so it's weird. I've had many offers to connect celebrities, or I've had people tell me at live events. I had one girl I won't say who the paranormal celebrity was, mm-hmm. but he was standing over by one of the other doors and she was talking to me and she goes, I need you to do me a favor and kiss me right now because I want to make that person jealous.
Wow.
Because he's been kind of ignoring me and I'm hoping this will trigger him to come over and try to reignite things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, good God, how weird.
Yeah.
And after we got done making out, I refused to do it again that night.
Well, good for you. Yeah,
I have standards, Tim.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a little saying the kids have. It's shoot your shot, player, which means just go up and do your thing. Don't do the go between thing. Just no. You go up and you be you. Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? A coward dies 1,000 deaths, a brave man only one, right?
Yep.
Which is true. Mm-hmm. So you kill yourself every time you don't take that shot because you're always questioning what's going on.
Yep.
Hey, I've got some good news for you, Tim. Good news.
What's that?
You, sir, are reaching out further than you've ever been before.
I am.
That's not necessarily true because our radio show is heard around the world and on three different intergalactic planets that we are currently in trade negotiations with. But paranormal night shift, real life encounters working the night shift has made its way, Tim. That's right. They are now part of what is this? You are part of Channel 24 on like DSTD or something like that. I don't. DSTV 132 is your actual channel, Tim. What does that mean? What does that mean in the real world? Well, Tim, that means that now subscribers in South Africa, Nigeria, Kenya, Ghana, Angola, Namibia, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Uganda, Mauritius, Mozambique, Malawi, Tanzania, Lesotho, Ethiopia, and the Republic of the Congo and Democratic Republic of Congo, Gabon, and Eswatini and Botswana all can watch Tim Dennis on Paranormal Night Shift.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So for all of you viewers and listeners of Darkness Radio in South Africa and those other areas, you can now see your very own Darkness Radio Tim on your TV. While most of us get our work done during the day and get to sleep away the night hours, there are those whose job involves the graveyard shift and has that nickname for a reason. Each episode of this spine-chilling series revolves around three different stories of paranormal encounters told by people who actually experience them while working the night shift. You may never look at your workplace the same way again. Tim, mm-hmm. a late-night radio DJ and producer working in the American Midwest.
That wasn't me.
I know, but yeah. I was trying to lead people in on this. But Tim, a late night radio DJ and producer working in the American Midwest, is the subject of the first of the 13 installments. Tim's first night was filled with strange occurrences, such as loud giggling, banging on the studio door, footsteps in the ceiling, and glimpses of a child in the shadows. And then things got worse. You'll also meet Heather, the former owner of the Looking Glass Restaurant in Toronto, where she bought the property. She knew there were rumors it was haunted, but didn't believe any of them. The night the restaurant opens, Valentine's Day, the air conditioning starts making a knocking sound at 2 a.m. As Heather is cashing up, she goes to investigate only to find a terrifying encounter with her doppelganger. It's enough to drive her out of business. And Dan lands his dream job managing a bowling alley. Oh, really, Dan? That's your dream job?
Well, we all have dreams, Dave.
I guess if there weren't guys like Dan, who would run the damn bowling alley? Thank you, Dan. Thank you, because I personally love to bowl, as does my family. But when it comes to cleanup time and everyone is left, the dreams turn into nightmares. Where are the eerie, ghostly steps and disembodied voices coming from? Dan's not going to stick around to find out. He soon learns his colleague Bob has had some similar experience. Now, Gerald's the caretaker for a high school. One cold night, he and a coworker cut through the school's tunnels. Gerald notices that what he believes is an intruder, but his coworker seems to be caught in a trance. It's only when he feels a force push him firmly against a wall that he realizes this is no regular intruder. Those are just a handful of the creepy cases covered by the series Paranormal Night Shift. There are more than enough to give you the best fright ever. So prepare to be afraid. Paranormal Night Shift starts airing on CBS Reality DSTV 132 on October 11th, Tim. So that's pretty exciting. 2 days ago, it began airing on that channel. Now, here's something else, folks. For those of you that don't know, if you have Discovery Plus, you can watch it right now. Not Discovery Plus, Tim. If you discover Plus, go see a doctor. Discovery Plus is what I meant to say.
Right.
Discovery Plus has Paranormal Night Shift. You can go see our very own Timmy D as he weighs in on some of these strange encounters and gives you some unique perspective on the supernatural. So go check out Paranormal Night Shift, whether you're in South Africa or right here in the heart of the Midwest, maybe the East Coast, West Coast, or even right near the Canadian-Texas border, Tim.
Right.
You can watch it. Yeah.
You know what I'm excited for? I'm excited that once again, I can scare the pants off our buddy Wayne Herschel.
Yes. Yes. Wayne Herschel. I forgot about him. Our good friend from
South Africa.
Hidden Records. Yeah, in South Africa.
Yeah.
Speaking of amazing authors and books, Tim, Britney Spears is writing a paranormal novel.
Really?
That's right. Now that she's been freed, well, at least temporarily, Britney shared some of her plans for the future before revealing an adorable new companion who will be alongside for the ride, a Doberman puppy named Portia, gifted to her by her fiancé, actor Sam Asghari. Talking to Instagram on Friday, Britney announced that she's writing a book about a girl who was murdered. She's explained it's about the ghost who gets stuck in limbo because of trauma and pain, and she doesn't know how to cross over to the world she used to know. After being stuck in limbo for 3 years, she's a ghost who thrives off of her reflection in the mirror for existence, Brittany continued. She has no one she can trust, but something happens and she figures out how to cross over to the real world where her family is. Do you think this sounds like a psychological version of what she's been going through?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's projection.
Spears also detailed the conflict her character will face, explaining coming out of the limbo she is, she has a decision to make. Greet the same people who murdered her or create a whole new life. She no longer needs her mirror. She found a portal by citing certain prayers constantly that gave her the insight and gift to not be scared anymore and come back from the state of limbo. But what it is I will leave to the imagination is what she does for how she crosses over, besides learning to write her name again, Spears teased. She is such a tease. Yeah. So Britney Spears writing a paranormal novel. And as soon as we hear about it, I'm sure Britney will be banging on the old Darkness Radio door, probably trying to get to Chris Fleming and wondering if I can make the goddamn connection for her. But or she'll Zach, be knocking.
Or Zach, one or the other.
Yeah. You think Zach's going to be knocking on the door?
No. So. She'll He's be knocking things. On the door trying to get to Zach.
Oh, yeah. Could be. Or Aaron. He is quite lovable.
True. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, disclaimer, I have not had sex with Zach Bagans.
I have.
That was meant for humor and satire. not that I've actually, I mean, I wouldn't mind. Who am I? He's a good looking fella. If you can't love the one you want, love the one you're with.
He's a fine strapping young lad.
Speaking of, Tim, a woman who has spine-tingling orgasms with a ghost is worried it might kill her.
Oh, geez.
What a way to go.
Well, I mean, if you've got to choose a way to go, that would be it, I think. Yeah.
Singer-songwriter Brocarde, 38, connected with a ghost called Eduardo. How come the ghosts that have sex with women are never ghosts named like Barry? Or Skip.
Or Lynn.
It's always.
Yeah.
Right. It's always.
Yeah.
The ghost of Eduardo is here to take away your pain and show you the love.
I have a theory. Mm-hmm. Here's my theory. And that is that the ghost doesn't want to be identified as, you know, giving their real name. Oh. They're probably pulling like a Maury thing where they're doing like an alias.
Pulling a Maury.
Yeah.
That like, sounds naughty.
Well, yeah, it does.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an alias for, you know, like putting on a costume almost.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
So you think he could be a Barry, but you know, he's probably like, oh, God, that girl is so hot. I'm never going to stand a chance even as a ghost. Right. Maybe if I'm Eduardo.
Yeah. How are they going to know? It's not like, you know, and then the next time they come back, it's a brand new character. So in that way, it seems like, you know, for the woman who's getting it on with different ghosts and thinking she's getting these cool one night stands, she's really just getting the same old Barry over and over again.
Hey, you know, whatever works, I guess. Well, she connected with this ghost of Eduardo when he revealed himself to her during a thunderstorm one night as she struggled to sleep. She says She says the spirit, the Victorian soldier who died prematurely, which is not what you want to hear when you're talking about a sex ghost.
No, you don't. No.
Yeah. He died prematurely at 35 after falling down a well, introduced himself and has been visited and visiting with her regularly ever since.
Where was Lassie when he fell down the well?
I don't know. I don't know. Brocardi from Oxfordshire said, I've always been fairly skeptical of the paranormal and things that can't be rationally explained. Over the years, I've had a few ghostly encounters, but I had always brushed them aside and thought nothing more of them until I met Eduardo, that is. I was laying in bed, unable to sleep. I rolled from side to side in bed, trying to switch off from both the storm and an argument I had had with one of my friends. Oh. Then, out of nowhere, I felt a warm sensation in my heart. Must have been Eduardo.
Must have been. I mean,
I touched my chest, and it was roasting, clammy almost. Ooh, sexy.
Yeah.
And the warm sensation ran down throughout my body. Then the whole room fell cold. I sat bolt upright, had tears streaming down my face, and was shaking almost uncontrollably. It felt like someone was present. I couldn't see anything, so I reached for the bedside light, and something grabbed at my hand to stop me. I heard, I love you, whispered in my ear, and felt someone's breath. And a shudder went down my spine. That's when Eduardo first introduced himself. Hello. Te amo, mi amor. I love you. I am Eduardo, your sex ghost. Since then, Eduardo has been visiting Brocardi.
As opposed to your waiter for the evening.
Yeah, right. Then Eduardo has visited Brocardi regularly, appearing whenever she feels she needs him.
Ah.
There's a comfort and a safety that I feel in his presence, like I can truly be myself. And he has this really great sense to deeply touch me.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
She said, adding that she has so far kept the relationship private from family and friends due to fear of being exercised. Well, you're talking to a major magazine. I think your family might pick up on the story. Brocardi says her temperamental lover sometimes communicates by making flames flicker as they enjoy a candlelight dinner together, sometimes even blowing the candle out when he's really angry, such as if she asks him to prove himself.
Barry.
Here's the thing. It's banging you. What more do you need proof of, for God's sakes? What more could he possibly do to prove he's there?
Well, that's the thing here, Dave. Barry doesn't really want to show up, you know, in the whole full body apparition thing, because then you see it's not really Eduardo in Spanish dress. It's it's Barry in a sweater vest.
Yeah. Sweater vest and a I Love Star Trek t-shirt.
Yep. With an inhaler.
When I try to relight, it won't ignite. It'll just disappear. So I get ghosted by a ghost, she explained. It's sad to know that even in the afterlife, there's still bickering between couples.
Yeah.
Yeah. Days later, I'll notice love hearts in the steam on the shower. Uh-huh. While Brocardi's music has been inspired by her unusual love affair, she doesn't want to reveal too much about their romance or sex life through her song, saying, our intimate moments are very empowering. He gives spine-tingling orgasms. But while she enjoys the unusual setup, she admitted she does have her concerns. She continued, my biggest fear is that he'll expect too much from me and kill me so that I too will be a spirit. Oh, mi amor, I would never kill you because then I would be saddled with you forever and I could not float away and make love to another woman somewhere else.
See? Yeah.
I love being alive, so deep down I know our romance is only fleeting. I'm just waiting for the day that he blows the candle out for good and ghosts me permanently. Typical woman, just waiting for him to leave her.
Yeah, you know, the other thing I'm concerned about, too, is the whole inviting him over for the family. You know, I mean, Thanksgiving's going to be really awkward, especially if he does decide to show up. And let's just say,
giving your grandma spine-tingling orgasms.
Well, there's that.
That's his big to-do.
You know, what if he introduces himself to the family in a grand way, like all of a sudden the turkey starts moving in odd directions? You know, I mean, there's just too much weirdness at the table. Just
No diggity, no doubt about that, my friend.
Yeah.
She said, I think people need to be open-minded. Physical presence in the traditional sense isn't necessary. It's not all it's cracked up to be. Many mortals are in relationships where they aren't actually present, and many love those who they can't be with. It's a difficult thing to get your head around, but perhaps some souls never truly pass, and maybe there are ghosts trapped in the afterlife who need love and affection, just like living humans.
Aww.
Man, now I'm feeling like maybe I shouldn't cross over at the end of this fleshy market. Maybe I should hang in and make sweet, sweet love to women and claim to be Eduardo or Fernando.
Dave, I'm seeing a problem with this whole thing here with you crossing over, because it's going to be a lot of, Dave, get me the spirit of Zach Bagans.
Yeah, or Shakespeare or Elvis.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think that's going to work for you.
Probably right. Yeah. Well, she's not the only cuckoo bird out there, Tim, releasing music about sexual ghostly encounters.
Really?
Well, I mean, I guess she is the one doing that, but Jason Boland is releasing a concept album about alien abduction. When I say the name Jason Boland, Tim, what do you think of?
A guy struggling to sell albums.
That's hurtful, but probably true. I don't know that to be true.
All right.
That's just so cold. Original Red Dirt music legend, Jason Boland.
Yeah.
Do you know who that is? I've never heard of Jason Boland.
He could
be because he's got one of those wicker cowboy hats instead of like one of the cool George Strait or Clint Black cowboy hats with the silver band.
He could walk up and shoot me in the ribs. I wouldn't know who he was.
All right. Relax, Lee Harvey. Original Red Dirt music legend Jason Boland may be best known for straightforward country music heaters.
Ah, there we go. Country music.
Wait, it gets better though, right? Check this out. He's written such songs as Pearl Snaps and Somewhere Down in Texas. But those that have followed his 20-year career know that if you know Boland, you best stay on your toes. Every once in a while, he'll throw you a curveball, and he's not just some bumpkin beneath the surface. There's a thought, or beneath the surface, rather. There's a thoughtful, intelligent guy. A year after celebrating his 20th anniversary as his iconic debut album, Pearl Snaps, Boland is veering into the paranormal with his next album called The Light Saw Me, to be released on December 3rd by 30 Tigers. Similar to Jason's 2015 record, Squelch, he'll be going off the script on this one, not just singing the usual songs about tough times and heartache. This one is a concept record whose subject matter deals with an alien abduction. That's right. You don't have to rub your eyes when you read this story, Tim. Jason Boland and the Stragglers are releasing an alien abduction concept record, apparently made of three distinctive interlocking parts. The album follows a cowboy living in Texas in the 1890s who's abducted by aliens and ends up back in Texas in the 1990s. It's partially inspired by the story of a rumored UFO crash in Aurora, Texas, back in April 17th of 1897, before most folks even knew what a UFO was. But don't worry, Boland assures there's a deeper, more universal theme to the album, as well as might be more accessible to fans of sci-fi. So he's reaching out for that country sci-fi base that's so big. The Light Saw Me is a song and album which aims to highlight our lack of ultimate control over our narratives. So much of what happens in our lives seems to choose us in spite of our grand plans. The deeper meaning of the material is meaning itself. A deep country western singer, Tim. Deep. How deep? Real deep, son.
Deep as that big gray finger in your anus.
That's right. When faced with the stoic realities of our collective fate, love is the source of the power that can keep us all going. The album was recorded in Los Angeles with the Stragglers, including longtime and beloved steel guitarist Roger Ray, Tim, who had left the band back in 2014. I know you're happy to know they're back together.
Oh, I am. I'm overjoyed. Yeah.
It was produced by Shooter Jennings, received some of his first producer credits on the Jason Boland and the Stragglers 2013 album, Dark and Dirty Mile.
Oh, I have all his albums. Yeah, that one's sitting in my closet somewhere.
Dark and Dirty Mile almost sounds like the follow-up to this alien abduction.
It does. <story. laughs>
Oh, God. That is weird.
I love
these
his...
These are the tracks.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
The title track for the new album can be heard already. It's out there. It's called The Light Saw Me. Let me play a little bit of it for you. Oh, I can't because we don't have a BMI or ASCAP license. The Light Saw Me track list, though. Terrifying Nature is the first song. The Light Saw Me, or Tornado and the Fool.
Mm-hmm.
Here for You, Transmission Out, Transition In, Future, Straight Home, Restless Spirits, A Place to Say, Stay, and Faux Real.
Faux
Faux Real.
Oh, so it's not real yet. It is. I get the double meaning.
Mm. Very nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of them fox paws, Tim.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I mentioned that I'm on Cameo. Something else that's going to be big news to Tim. Tim's also going to be on Cameo. So if you want a hello from Tim, if you want a private message from Tim, if you want Tim to break up with me, whatever message you want, Tim is the guy for you. So Tim will be on Cameo. I've just told him of this, and I will be shooting him the link later today. So by the end of the week, you can find Tim on Cameo, and you'll be able to get those messages, live video messages from the silly and affable Mr. Tim Dennis.
And I'll be doing impressions of this guy who does the Alien album. I'll even write you some country alien abduction lyrics if you'd like.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. I thought you didn't care.
No, I do. I'll get creative for you.
So there you go, folks. Exciting times. If you're in South Africa, now you can watch Tim's show, The Paranormal Night Shift. If you're here in America, you can watch it on Discovery Plus. And now you can check out Cameo and look for Tim Dennis from Darkness Radio and Paranormal Night Shift. And he'll be available. So you can do some cool little, Cameo messages. And Tim will read them to you or say them for you. Well, I don't know what the right term is. It's weird. Cameo is a weird little setup. I've already had about 20 people that have had me send everything from birthday greetings to anniversary, special jobs, just all kinds of cool stuff. I love connecting with the audience that way. Tim will as well. So make sure you check out Cameo. Let's see, Tim. Let's see where we should go next. Let me go to this story, because the other three links I'm going to have to copy and paste because for some reason they're not making themselves clickable to me. But let's do this first. A haunted New York house with 9 ghosts has very few buyer prospects, which is so strange. We talked about this house a while ago, and while most houses for sale list their number of bedrooms and bathrooms, this one house has kind of a unique number linked to it. Michelle Bell has been trying to sell her family's house in Troy, New York, but says she hasn't received any actual offers. While most home sellers are benefiting from this new red-hot market, this particular home, she's sitting idle on the market. It may have something to do with the fact that it has 9 ghosts that supposedly inhabit the property. Bell spoke with Fox News about her family home and explained that after losing her mother to Alzheimer's, she decided it was time to part with the property. Bell had taken care of her mom for 9 years in the house until she died a few years ago. During that time period, unusual activity in the house began to ramp up. We lost 13 to 20 aides during that time, she said. Apparently, the nurses kept seeing ghosts roaming the house or its surrounding property. A few of them said they were even pushed, Bell added. Bell says that while the house has generated a lot of interest, there's been no legitimate buyers making any offers yet. According to Bell, no one has been able to show proof of mortgage approval. Oh, so it's a bunch of dipshit ghost hunters claiming to want to buy the house just so they could get in there with their K2 meter and see if they get a hit.
Yep.
Dear Dave, I am not a dipshit ghost hunter, but before I make such an extensive purchase, I'd like to go in and find out if it truly is haunted. Because if I'm going to exploit the ghosts and turn this into a paranormal attraction, I just want to make sure there's a legitimate ghost there, your friend Ben.
P.S. Dave, here is our half an hour reel that we made for our new TV series that is available only on Tout, which is a outdated format, but I'm sure that you'll like it anyways.
Please pass it along to Zach Baggins or Chris Fleming.
Zach, I know, is a very prolific producer who I'm sure will be very interested to take us on as his students and or pupils.
Oh, God. The house has been in the family for generations. Bell says that when she spent time there as a kid, she didn't experience any overtly paranormal activity. She did, however, say that it often felt like there was a presence in the house. She described hiding under the dining room table or in the attic where it felt safe. So wait a minute. Yeah, I grew up there and I really didn't have any kind of overtly paranormal activity, but I did hide underneath the dining room table and in the attic quite often. These might be the little triggers that are keeping some people from buying your home, darling.
Mm-hmm.
These days, however, things have changed. There are three men in the basement, Belle explained while discussing the ghost. She says she doesn't know who these men are, but they are aggressive energy. People have described feeling like they've been pushed in the basement. It's creepy down there, Belle said. Some of the other ghosts, however, are familiar to her. Her grandfather and great-grandfather have both been spotted and heard wandering the halls. While Belle acknowledged that the hauntings could drive away potential buyers, she also said that some people seek it out. She just needs to find someone who's interested and also serious about buying. Belle will continue to make regular visits to the house. She says she cleanses the house with sage to keep the spirits calm. So is it like indica sage or sativa sage? I don't know. What are you giving them to keep? I guess indica is the one that will keep them calm, right? That, what do they call it? In the couch?
It's that purple kush.
While Belle spoke with Fox News by phone from the house, whispering could be heard in the background. Belle said her husband was with her in the house, but he wasn't making any noise, she added. I tried to look up the price for this house, seeing if maybe that's why. Let me click this one. And I can't. Nope. It just takes me to like another website that has nothing to do with that story. So I don't know. Maybe she's just outpriced herself.
That could be.
That could be part of what's going on here and why she's having a little trouble selling the place. But who am I to guess?
Not only with the hot market, because, I mean, literally now houses are going for $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 over what they're being listed for. And they're going off the market before they even hit it. Some of them are going off the market before they hit the market or shortly, like, you know, minutes or hours after they hit the market. But you know, it kind of hit my brain a couple of weeks ago after the Conjuring house hit the market and then left the market at, what was it, 300,000 more than what it hit the market for? It was 1.2 million that it sold for.
Right. Yeah.
But I'm thinking now that, you know,
and it was bought 2 years ago for 444,000.
Right. And in that escalation in value, I'm thinking now that it used to be that a haunted property was never sold as a value to a home.
Right.
It was always looked at as a
stigmatized.
As a stigma to a home. I'm thinking now that it's going to be added as a value to a home, at least short term until this little bubble bursts. I think anything. Weird. Yeah. And it's a weird thing because it's never been looked at as a positive, but I think because people will bite on it, especially this time of year, I think some realtors may decide that, you know, if they get the right client, they may add it as an added value to a home and maybe even try to get more money out of a home, which is an odd thing to say because it's never been an added attraction to a home.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it is for people that are looking to buy a haunted house, I guess. All right, so we're not the only ones that were a little irritable about Neil deGrasse Tyson last week, Tim.
Really?
Here's an email. Hey, guys, my wife and I were just listening to the Parashare where Neil deGrasse Tyson was criticizing the naval UAP footage. It struck me that in his field and with his media experience, he has to know that military fighter jets are not equipped with high-definition cameras that are designed to take pretty pictures. They're fitted with thermal targeting cameras with sophisticated tracking software designed to track high-velocity targets, usually with the intent of blowing that target up, which, by the way, makes the footage all the more impressive that several times the objects accelerate so quickly that these systems designed to track supersonic aircraft cannot keep up with them. That he refers to the footage as grainy and monochromatic with the intent to dismiss its validity makes it clear to me that he's intentionally attempting to misdirect attention. He sounds exactly like someone who knows better, who is compelled by someone scary to do whatever he can to debunk and discredit the subject in public. Whenever authorities use mockery as a tool to publicly dissuade opinions on something, it's usually worth looking more closely into. I personally believe there are two issues going on with information on UAPs, an official campaign that is using Skunkworks technology to drive a fear narrative to control public behavior, and real knowledge of non-human life and technology that is being suppressed, discredited, and controlled despite an abundance of evidence going back through all of recorded history that we are not alone, nor are we in any danger from beings that could have wiped us out of the universe ages ago if they were so inclined. That's my two cents anyway, and that comes from John. Thank you, John. I'm glad that we have somebody listening to the show who sees the truth. Neil deGrasse Tyson, you hack, you fraud. Give me a call, buddy. Let's have a drink. And I was wondering, Neil, if you could introduce me to Zach Bagans, that'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Hi, Dave and Tim. My name is Denny Martins. First, I've been listening to your show since 2010, and you guys are the best. I don't know if he sang it that way when he typed it, but that's how I heard it in my head. Seriously, yeah. I have yet to miss a single episode. Today, I would like to write about musical synchronicity. I'm from Mystic, Connecticut, which, of course, is very historic and active with the paranormal. Even our bookstore has ghosts. My love for the paranormal, however, is a close second to my first love, which is music. My earliest memories involve music. My mom would only have the radio on during the day, never the TV, and I was a DJ at my college radio station. These two interests do converge time to time. I am somewhat sensitive with clairaudient abilities. During the odd occasion that I attempted psychometry, I will get musical clues from the object. For example, holding a friend's grandfather's pocket watch, I heard a few strains from Clarence Carter's Slip Away. It turns out that his grandfather was having an affair with alcohol. He was a closeted alcoholic and ultimately committed suicide. I had known my friend only a few months, so there's no way I could have known any of this family history. In 2019, I was told by a third cousin, whom I connected through 23andMe, that my biological mother's oldest sister, my Aunt Patty, man, I feel like I need a flowchart for this story, Tim. I was told by my third cousin, whom I connected through 23andMe, that my biological mother's older sister, my Aunt Patty was married to a famous jazz drummer. I don't know if you can say the name, it's Gene Krupa, but he was one of the most accomplished jazz drummers of his time. Well, I can say his name. You heard me say Gene Krupa. You typed it, I can read it most of the time. What is so weird is that after my cousin Charlotte told me this, I have been having these events of musical synchronicity almost on a monthly basis. Here are the most notable. I started my current job 2 years ago, and the company's hold music is not so commonly played by what the shit? Let me try reading this again in English, Tim.
Okay.
I started my current job 2 years ago, and the company's hold music is a not so commonly played piece by Mozart. Soon after I started, I attended the 2019 Mass Paracon in the Berkshires and had a reservation at a nearby B&B. As soon as I stepped out into the entrance, I heard the same hold music playing on the CD player behind the check-in desk. The owner said that they rarely play that CD, but for some reason felt compelled to play it that day. Now, as much as I love my job, there are some things that frustrate me, like all of us, right? My biggest bugaboo is my department manager, who sometimes has almost this Catbert-like passive-aggressive streak. One day I was texting a coworker about my latest complaint, and I wrote that if you asked my manager for water, she would give you gasoline, thinking she's doing you a favor. Well, as soon as I sent that text, a song called Gasoline and Matches came on the radio. Several months after this, I was listening to one of my favorite bands, The War on Drugs, on the same station. This song, called Under the Pressure, is one of my favorites because the haunting piano reminds me of early Roger Waters era Pink Floyd. I decided to look up the name of the piano player. While I was searching for his name, a client called me. As soon as I pulled up the musician's name, the client introduced himself. The first name of the client and the piano player, Robert. All right, that's not as impressive. Robert is kind of a well-known name. It would have been like Ignatz or Catbert. That would be crazy.
Yeah.
Finally, this one happened just a few weeks ago. One of my quirky hobbies besides paranormal research is writing perfume reviews. I don't know why that just struck me funny. I was writing a review about this perfume that had a lot of coconut in it. And as soon as I wrote that it smells like a Mounds bar, Harry Nilsson's Coconut came on that same radio station at that moment. What is really intriguing is that these songs are not part of the station's usual playlist. You might hear them every 2 to 3 months. However, that is even more confounding, is that these events only started after I found out about my connection to the jazz drummer. Maybe these synchronicities are a reminder of how interlinked we truly are. Maybe. All I know is that these two passions of mine intersected when I made this intriguing connection with people whom I'd never met but are part of my DNA. Thanks for letting me share, and I look forward to your next show, as always. And that comes from Denny. Till he hears me giggle about the fact that he writes reviews for perfume.
Yeah, that's not going to go over big with him.
I'm sorry, Denny. I'm sure that's a great side gig. It just caught me off guard. Besides paranormal research, I also enjoy, Star Trek conventions. I just kind of expected something like that, not perfume reviews. But God love you, somebody's got to do it. Now we know which perfume we should and should not buy and what has a nutty undertone of coconut and chocolate.
That would be kind of a good perfume.
Sure as hell would. We have to take a quick break. We'll come back. We've got more of the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm Dave. That's Tim. This is Darkness Radio. We are back, and remember, we want to hear your stories, so you can email them into us, dave@darknessradio.com. That's dave@darknessradio.com, and we'll read them on upcoming episodes of the show. If you are so inclined and would like to record yourself telling us a paranormal adventure, you can certainly do that as well and email that to dave@darknessradio.com. I say that, and now I have to address one of our listeners. She recorded over a 30-minute dissertation of her stories. It'd be easier if you could make them in little bite-sized stories and email them to me maybe once every couple of weeks. Unfortunately, with what we're doing, we just don't have the time to take a 30-minute piece and pare it down and cut it and edit it and do all that work right now. So, we'll eventually get to that long one, but it might be easier if you just want to record short little segments and send them to us that way. But we will certainly do our best to read those when we can or play those audio bits. And hopefully, about the beginning of December, we'll be launching back into some of the Theater of the Minds. Now, I'm still out filming at an undisclosed location, and we'll be here through mid-November. I then come back for a few days, then I'm off to my son's military graduation, then back for a few days, and then another event that I'll be doing, and then I'll be settled in for quite a while. So we'll get back to Theater of the Mind. I know some people, I do have to laugh, dude. I love our listeners. I love these people, but some of them drive me mad. The people that write to me and say, or on social media, call me out for why you guys have gotten so lazy. Where are the Theater of the Minds? I listen to every episode and suddenly there's no Theater of the Mind with no explanation. We've explained it repeatedly. And if you've truly listened to every episode, you would understand why we're not doing any right now. It's not to hurt you. It's not to slight you. We enjoy them as much as you do. Mm-hmm. Just filming 5 days a week, anywhere from 12 to 14 hour days, trying to record 3 podcasts a week, plus Tim's other jobs and family functions. There's just not enough time in the day. So we're trying to work through that. And as soon as we're back, we'll get into some more Theater of the Minds. In the interim, if you want to write me a story of your own Theater of the Mind so that we have them available and ready, that would also help. Another big reason that we do some of these slowdowns is some of your stories stop. When we get stories that are a paragraph or too long and they're not very descriptive, those don't make for great Theater of the Minds. Make it anywhere from a full page to 3 pages spaced and typewritten with punctuation, and we'll be able to use those. So keep that in mind. But if you have a story you'd like us to share and add music and elements to, just email them to me, dave@darknessradio.com. Now, Tim, we're going to take a quick little journey across the big pond, right over the mighty Mississippi to Cardiff in Wales.
Oh, all
that's
right.
The big pond they're talking about, aren't they?
I would think so. Although there's a really big pond in back of my grandparents' old house.
I remember that. We used to go boot hockeying out there.
Yeah, boot hockey.
Yeah. Boot hockey. Could boot you sound more Minnesotan when you said that? Yeah, boot hockey.
I got excited there. The Minnesotan in me came out.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cardiff is the most haunted place in Wales, according to a database that collects the locations of paranormal sightings and experiences. I specifically chose this story, Tim, because it is filled with words I will never be able to pronounce. Are you ready?
Nice. I'm ready.
The Paranormal Database is an ongoing project to document locations with folkloric, paranormal, and cryptozoological connections in the UK, Ireland, and the Channel Islands. Location data for the paranormal experiences collected was broken down by a location by a camper van rental platform, Paul Camper, in order to encourage tourism to these locations. But it found that Cardiff has almost double the locations where paranormal activity has been reported, 23. As Monmouth is second place with 14. In third place was Conwy with 12, while Swansea had 10, Newport had 9, Langlorien had 8, and Aberystwyth, Pembroke, Barmouth, and Treloc 7. In terms of historic counties, however, the number of haunted locations was this. Mm-hmm. In number one is Gwent with 143. Hmm. Number two was Diffid, which is 140. Number three is Clwyd, C-L-W-Y-D, Clwyd, 132. Mm-hmm. Number four is Gwynedd, 125 mm-hmm. total. Mm-hmm. Number five on the list is Powys with 66. And then they start to drop off. And I guess Glamgoran just cannot get along with one another, because in South Glamgoran, there's 60. West Glamgoran has 50. Mid Glamgoran has 40.
Hmm.
You know, it's weird here in the United States. We have North Dakota, South Dakota, right? Right,
yeah.
We've got East and Wests. It's not like, well, there's South, there's West and Mid. Like, it's like, fuck East and North. We have no time for them. The single most haunted location in Wales, according to the database, was Cardiff Royal Infirmary. Over the years, there have been various accounts of vanishing matrons, wounded soldiers, and playful children who tap visitors on the shoulder or ankles as they walk up the stairs. The hauntings got so bad that at one point, the pathology ward, doctors, and nurses had to have an exorcism. In Monmouth, the Shire Hall is said to be particularly rife with paranormal activity, including a judge seen in his wig and robes and a pair of disembodied legs.
Hmm. That's freaky.
Now from Wales, Tim, we head to the Tower of London.
All right.
Where a resident is asking, please pray for me, over a creepy ghost story with a twist ending. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
A Tower of London resident has gone viral on the TikTok, Tim, after sharing a creepy experience she had in her castle residence. The iconic London landmark with its centuries of grisly history has long been the subject of various unexplainable and ghostly stories. Sure enough, current resident Megan Clausen had experienced some paranormal activity in her home before, but never quite to the extent she did this week. Talking to TikTok yesterday to share her tale, Megan began, I live inside the Tower of London, and something that I get asked all the time is, have you seen any ghosts? Megan paused for effect and then went on. And up until last night, I could say, I've heard the odd footsteps. I've had the odd cold feeling. And my dog has barked at thin air. Sound creepy already?
Well, yeah.
It's about to get a whole lot creepier, Tim. Megan continued, but last night I was struggling to get sleep, which is quite strange for me anyway, because as soon as my head hits that pillow, I'm out like a light. So I was just listening to the clicking of my plug-in radiator, said Megan, adding, because I live in the wall of a castle, it's bloody freezing, slowing down as if unsure about how to describe what happened next. She went on slowly, and yeah, I hear this squeak. So I have this dog toy in my room with a little squeaker on the end, and every hour or so, I would just hear one squeak. And then it would stop. But earlier, Megan mentioned she had a dog, right? So it's not that weird that her dog would have been playing with its toy at night, right? Wrong. Because then Megan added the kicker. And this would have been absolutely fine had my dog not been 150 miles away at my mom's house. If this made a shiver run down your spine, you're not alone, Megan candidly added. So yeah, please pray for me. God, people, darkness radio audience, I'm asking that you come together and pray for this woman who's dealing with the worst kind of haunting in the world, a squeaky dog toy ghost that squeaks once every hour. Oh, the humanity. Oh, the humanity. God, for God's sake, she lives in the Tower of London. She couldn't have made up a better story than a dog toy squeaks once an hour. Good God.
Yeah.
But that leads us into our next story, Tim. While we're over in cheery old London town,
mm-hmm.
heartbroken Londoners regularly communicate with dead pets via mutt mediumship in Wimbledon.
Hmm.
In the era of more people looking to pet ownership to fulfill their parental instincts, a question started to buzz around my head. If we now hold birthday parties for pets, push them around in prams, dress them in three-piece suits, and hold family-style photo shoots with them, what else is there? Something I heard about that seemed very unusual, according to the author of this article, was the idea of a pet seance, which particularly unorthodox friend's mom was said to engage in. In a world where pet parenting and treating pets like humans is growing ever more common, is it possible that more people believe in a spiritual side to their four-legged friends? Curious about the story I had heard about the mediumship, I went on the hunt for a pet seance. This eventually led me to Ash Robinson and his family's church. Sunday Mass is often a rather toned-down affair, full of hymns, sermons, prayers, etc., but not at the Wimbledon Spiritualist Church. Here, something rather different happens. They swap the liturgy for clairvoyance and sermons for summoning spirits. The building itself is rather unassuming, made up of pale brick behind a basic gated fence. When you enter, the effect is no different. Friendly faces greet you at the door, which leads to a village hall-style lobby. I was met by a husband and wife duo that run that church, Reverend Ray and Jackie Robinson, and their son, Ash, helps out. Ash is also one of the leading mediums at the church. The church has been a family affair since Del Boy, Ray's dad and Ash's granddad, became a reverend in 1982 before Ray took over in 2007. Oddly enough, the ashes of Del Boy and his wife Hazel and their dog Brandy are spread in the garden out in the back of the church, which is commemorated with a plaque bearing all three names. I spoke to Ash about pets and spiritualism. Had he as a medium ever felt the presence of a pet from the other side? He said he had instances of it happening and believes that pets have souls attached to them that go on after they pass. He went on to explain that they don't just help contact pets, but also offer spiritual and absent healing for people's cuddly companions. Aww. Spiritual healing, he said, was a transference of energy of one person to a group to another being to help with physical or mental injury. This type of healing session happens every Thursday at the church for faithful pet owners who come to get their pets treated with alternative therapy. Ray told me the owners have to get approval from the Royal Veterinary College or a local vet because it technically counted as a form of treatment. When I asked who was the type of person to come for this type of process, Ash said anyone aware of power of prayer. At a seance, the medium was channeling the participant's Nan, who happened to be stroking Ozzy, the guinea pig, on the other side. This is apparently fairly common, channeling spirits of past loved ones and their deceased pets that come along for the ride. The most curious of these types of connections is through physical or psychic drawings. Ray and Ash were quick to show me a sketch of Brandy, the dog who is scattered out in the garden alongside Del Boy and Hazel. I have no way of corroborating whether or not the artist had any prior knowledge of the dog, but a side-by-side comparison of a picture of the dog and its psychic drawing are uncannily similar. Before the ceremony, I found out a little more about my hosts. Ray said he first became aware of spirits when he was six, when he saw his recently deceased grandfather sitting at the end of his bed, wanting to have a chat. Ash has a more complicated relationship with the spirit world. According to his dad, he wasn't that bothered about being part of the church and is now married to a Catholic. After having a stroke at 25, he took up a more prominent role within the church and told me that he believes that spiritual healing aided in his recovery. By this time, the church had begun to fill up. Almost every chair was full. I made my way to some of the visitors and asked them why they were there. They said that they visit regularly and that one of them had a one-to-one with a medium. She described the experience as surreal and crazy, but more because of how shockingly accurate she found his reading. She said, my mom came through and she was saying stuff only she would know. So either he had to dig deep into my life or he was speaking to her. Just before Ash made his opening remarks on stage, I spotted something astounding. A dog arrived for the event, with its owner, of course. I sat down with Ray in the lobby once the reading of the main hall started. I asked him what the purpose of hosting readings and mediumship was. Ray said, it's to bring people comfort and to give evidence that there is life after death. Pet parents might be able to take comfort from Ray and Ash's philosophy that their precious surrogate children have a future after death. Well, we already knew that.
Yeah.
I think animals, why wouldn't they have souls? They're the most loving, caring creatures on the planet. Mm-hmm. Unless they're cats. They want to kill us all, then.
Yeah, well, they do. I mean,
you know. Uh-huh. Hey, we have some good news in Canada, Tim, but go ahead. What were you about to say, my friend?
Oh, just that, you know, I've had a few people reach out and send me evil cat videos lately. I don't know why they keep trying to prove my point, but they do. That's just all I...
But they're so cute and cuddly when they're doing evil things.
Yeah.
Hey, Canada, alert your Texas neighbors because a paranormal documentary, Bathsheba, Search for Evil, will explore the real story behind The Conjuring. The land itself holds memories. James Wan's The Conjuring was, of course, based on a real case investigated by the real-life Ed and Lorraine Warren, documenting the nightmare endured by the Perrin family at their Rhode Island farmhouse back in 1971. The house is said to be haunted by the spirit of a woman named Bathsheba Sherman, and the owners claim it is indeed still haunted. The two-part documentary, Bathsheba, Search for Evil, will explore that real-life case that inspired the hit franchise, part of the Canadian network's T&E Creep Week this Halloween. Bathsheba, Search for Evil premieres October 11th at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on T&E. So there you go, Canada, getting something America doesn't have, huh? How about that?
Yeah.
So stop your bitching. All your bitching and mourning about not having the Holzer files. We'll share your documentaries with us. Then maybe you'll get the damn Holzer files. Like I have any pull on that.
Don't you?
No.
Oh, okay.
So today's episode, what does science have to say about the supernatural, Tim? What does science have to say about ghosts? Well, now we're going to dip into that story to find out. Although there is no scientific proof for the existence of the supernatural phenomena, such as ghosts or demons, there are millions of people around the world who believe that these paranormal forces do exist. And many of them claim to have experienced such phenomena in real life. Mm-hmm. A survey conducted by YouGov in 2019 revealed that 4 out of every 10 people in the United States think that ghosts are real. And a surprising survey from 2021 divulged that 45% of Canadians claim to have used a Ouija board to summon ghosts at least once. 32% have consulted a psychic. While there is no proven method or machine by which someone can really recall supernatural forces, to some extent, science can logically explain why people feel the presence of unrealistic paranormal energy or beings around them. So why would you encounter ghosts? Now, again, folks, this is just the article. I'm sharing it with you as written. Based on the laws of science as we know them, ghosts, demons, zombies, vampires, and wandering spirits, they're just fiction. There's no substantial evidence that suggests the existence of any such supernatural phenomena in the world. However, there may be reasons based on science for why people feel they have had a paranormal experience. There's the haunted 19 hertz frequency. In the 1980s, British engineer Vic Tandy discovered that infrasound, low-frequency sound between 0.1 and 20 hertz that is below the level of human hearing, is able to tamper with human senses and can result in feelings of disquiet and eeriness, similar to those reported by people seeing ghostly figures. His findings came from the personal experience of working in a lab that had a reputation for being haunted. Tandy himself saw a grayish spirit. Looking around, he found an extractor fan emitting noise at a frequency of 19 hertz, and when it was turned off, the visions and feelings of discomfort disappeared. Tandy did some further research on infrasound and found that these were waves are capable of making humans and animals experience blurred vision, fear, giddiness, and panic attacks, which may then be misinterpreted as paranormal experience. After this, Tandy became something of a ghost hunter. In 2001, he claimed that infrasound was also responsible for apparitions and feelings of dread felt in spooky cellars near Coventry Cathedral, where a number of visitors had claimed to see a female ghost. 3 years later, Tandy also debunked the paranormal beliefs associated with the haunted Warwick Castle of Warwickshire, England. And at the end of both of these investigations, the 19 hertz infrasound frequency was found to be the reason behind the occurrence of figures that appeared like ghosts. So I have to stop there, Tim.
Okay.
There's much more to this article, but let's address that story.
Sure.
So 0.1 to 19 hertz, or 0.1 to 20 hertz, the infrasound frequency, which we can't normally hear but can help to construct these false emotions, false senses, false feelings, according to that investigator. If you go into it believing that this is causing that, it's causal in effect. So that way, it doesn't exist without this. Does that mean that the paranormal doesn't exist? Or does it mean that if infrasound is there, that it may be creating the template for paranormal activity to be witnessed?
I think it creates the template for it to be witnessed, much like high RF energy creates the template for it to be witnessed. It's another condition.
Right. Now they're saying, though, well, we have to throw that baby out with the bathwater because paranormal activity can't exist if we know that this frequency is affecting the brain. But if it's affecting the brain in a way to awaken it, perhaps the third eye, the pineal gland, or creating this ability to kind of tap into a frequency we normally wouldn't, then does that discount the reality of the paranormal itself? I mean, it's interesting, but again, if you go into it believing, oh, this gives us false information, therefore everything that happens is false. If I went in as a believer and said, but when we instigate this infrasound, activity begins to happen around us and we can see it and hear it.
Well, from
why would it trigger things in our brain that isn't there, causing hallucinations?
The scientist is saying that it's not triggering anything or it's not opening anything. It's creating a state of agitation to other senses, which is creating false positives.
Right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But
yeah,
that's because he's coming at it with this isn't real. But on the other side of it, couldn't we say that this is the key that needed to be used to unlock the potential of the human brain or awareness?
You could. That's one way of looking at it. However, you also have to have evidence that says that you're creating that same effect in each individual person. If it doesn't create that effect in each individual person, then that's not creating the same positive effect in every person. So science would have to say, okay, if you take and open that frequency in each individual person, they have to see the exact same. I'm going to play the song here.
Phenomena.
in each individual person. So if you and I and a group of eight other people are sitting in a room and that noise or that bit of sound is in the room, we should each see the same apparition sitting in front of us.
If that apparition is there, correct?
Right.
And if it's not, and it's just instigating our brain, we should each be having individual accounts that don't tie together.
But if five of us see it and five of us don't, then according to science, that is not a positive, that isn't a positive.
Right. No, that's not positive enough for science to accept that,
right,
which is strange.
Right.
That's what I always had a problem with the God helmet when I talked to people using it. I'm like, well, they would believe that when they were wearing the God helmet, they would be able to see the supernatural, but they discounted it as though it was just stimulating the brain. But why not have three people sitting there wearing an iteration of the God helmet? If they're all experiencing the same visual, then maybe they are tuned into that frequency where that being is seen. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's crazy, but I just think that, science, science could discount this. Can it? Or, if it takes a look at the fact of key elements of what does this frequency resonate with? What is it opening up? What is it creating? Would that give us a newer paradigm to examine in science to see if it does help us come into communication unveil things from different dimensions or whatever that might exist?
Under scientific method, yes, it can. It can discount exactly what it sets out to discount. But if you're questioning the method, you can question it all day and say, well, because 3 out of 10 people saw something, there's enough there to question it, and maybe these other people aren't sensitive enough under that. They're not sensitive enough to the agitation to see what it is exactly they need to see. You know what I'm saying by putting that out there? So in other words, because they're getting the stimuli, it doesn't mean that they're sensitive enough to see the paranormal phenomena that's in the room. Maybe they need a bit more stimulation.
Right. No, certainly. And that's why I think it's crazy that, they're throwing some of this out and doing it summarily instead of using it as a way to propagate and look deeper into the subject. So I hope science will take that aspect into account as well and just be like, all right, you know, I get we still have to look for, we want to find a rational explanation. But with that said, what else can we uncover from what's, you know, what this tells us? And is there a way to corroborate that this is truly paranormal phenomena before we just dismiss it?
Right. And so, I see what you're saying. But for them, in order to prove that something is a rock solid way to break the veil, so to speak, and reach over to the other side, it has to happen according to scientific method time and time again.
Right.
And so in this case, to say that this type of oral stimulation, stimulation, don't get it mixed up, oral stimulation, meaning by the ear, works and is a way to break the veil, it just doesn't, according to scientific method. And that's what he's saying.
How dare they? How dare they?
Yeah.
That's what I have to say. All right, let's continue on here. More beliefs that this is fake is through disturbed mental health. Research published in the journal Frontiers in Psychiatry highlights that anxiety, sleep deprivation, epilepsy, and other kinds of neurological issues can give rise to the fear of ghosts in an individual. Moreover, psychiatrists believe that mentally ill patients are more likely to report paranormal activities around them as compared to others, possibly as a result of suffering from an anxiety disorder. Now, a report reveals that around 30% of mental health patients reporting experiencing some type of paranormal phenomena, such as seeing demons, at least once in their lifetime during the night. Then there's external stimulants. Psychoactive substances, such as psilocybin and LSD, are able to alter brain functions and can make a person feel like he or she is having a supernatural experience. Moreover, some bacteria, mold, and fungus may also cause psychosis, a mental disorder that disturbs an individual's ability to perceive reality. The rye ergot fungus has been suggested as the precipitating cause of the Salem witch trials in 1692, in which a number of people were accused of being witches and executed. Victims of rye ergot can suffer from paranoia, hallucinations, spasms, and stillborn children. Other theories suggest that the Earth's geomagnetic field, solar flares, and many other cosmic events may also affect human brain activity. However, no such theory has been experimentally proven thus far. However, sometimes an idea or suggestion is even enough to trigger the visions of an imaginary horror around you. Research and psychological experiments indicate that visual and verbal suggestions can influence the way people perceive the environment around them. For example, if you're staying in some random hotel for a couple of days and one day a friend informs you that the hotel is haunted, there's a probability that from there you will begin to feel fear or even experience paranormal happenings around you. Researchers have demonstrated that verbal suggestion could make people more likely to believe that they are seeing paranormal key bending rather than sleight of hand, and to be more confident that the viewing of the psychic phenomena was reliable. Research has also demonstrated that suggestion and misinformation can distort people's memories of an event, causing them to believe the misinformation. Therefore, suggestions sometimes play a major role in shaping human perception and even make people believe in unrealistic things such as ghosts. Again, I'm just reporting, kids. This isn't my statement. This is the author of the article. Another belief to why people have ghostly encounters is personal loss and loneliness. Canadian rock singer Celine Dion, during an interview in 2016, said that she often meets with the ghost of her late husband. Similar claims are made by people around the world who lose someone close to them. But do they really see or hear their deceased loved ones? The psychoanalyst Sigmund Freud observed that this phenomenon during the early 1900s, and he called it wishful psychosis, short-term madness of the mind, during which a person doesn't want to accept reality and starts imagining the presence of a dead person. However, the death of a loved one is not only thing that can make you experience ghosts. Research explains that loneliness, attachment, and childhood trauma are also factors that can lead individuals to believe that they have seen ghosts and spirits. Ghosts, angels, or other imaginary ghosts, angels, or other imaginary characters may be created by the human brain in order to cope with the feeling of loneliness and loss. And then, of course, we have the undeniable contribution of pop culture. There's an endless number of Hollywood blockbusters that insert themselves into viewers' consciousness that can range from the classic 1980s flick A Nightmare on Elm Street to Dracula, and The Conjuring. After watching such movies and TV shows, many kids and adults don't want to sleep alone, and they avoid visiting dark corners of their house. A study published in the Global Mass Communication Review suggests that horror movies can lead to nightmares, phobias, anxiety, stress, escapism, and various other psychological issues in young people. Continuous exposure to such types of content can also affect an individual's behavior, and perhaps even cause them to suffer from psychosis. Back in 2000, researcher Corinne Dalio examined the increase in paranormal or pseudoscientific television shows that occurred in the 1900s. Examples included Buffy the Vampire Slayer, The X-Files, Charmed, and Touched by an Angel, along with films like The Sixth Sense, The Craft, and others. She found that the proliferation of paranormal themes in popular culture correlated with beliefs in the paranormal among the general public. People love to experience and explore horror through films, TV, and books. Psychologists also believe that horror films and content may be good for OCD patients, as they may enable patients to confront and overcome their fears. However, at the same time, mental health experts also confirm that watching horror movies, especially binge watching them, can have adverse effects on mental health. This is partly because when watching a scary movie, the body releases large amounts of adrenaline and other hormones. That's what makes the movie exciting. These can lead to heightened activity in the brain, excitement, anxiety, insomnia, and even sleep deprivation, which in turn can make people even more suggestible. So far, all these studies and research work indicate that, according to science, the only place where ghosts, ghouls, and demons exist is in your head. It's in your head. In your head, zombie. Well, then let me have you explain this to me, science. I get a Panasonic DR60 recorder. I've read all of the concepts of why you're able to record paranormal phenomena, and it comes up with, well, you're just recording the internal machine noises, and your brain is finding a recognizable pattern that will associate it. All right, that's one possible concept. Then there is, it's picking up stray radio frequency. All right, so I get this Panasonic DR60, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard this. I'm like, I'm going to test this in my hotel, which is a brand new hotel, not haunted at all.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. I want to test this recorder. This was a year ago when I was filming Holzer Files. Mm-hmm. And the first time I turned it on, I said, hi. You know, I just want to try to test this recorder. If there's a spirit here, can you say my name? Can you say Dave? And I got a recording that said, Dave. Right? And I'm like, what the flip? I call Shane. I go, Shane, get down to my room. So Shane comes down. I play the recording for him. And he's like, get out. You did that. You faked it. I don't know why I'm doing such a corny Southern accent. And he goes, do another one. And I said, okay. So there was no high level of infrasound around us. And if there was, how did it record what I'm about to play for you? Are you ready for this?
Okay.
So it's Shane and I standing in the room, just the two of us looking at one another.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happens. I get a really creepy ass response.
Sorry, I didn't hear anything. If you're still with me, can you say my name? Can you say Dave? Do you know his name? Are we in any danger going to the location we're going tonight? Thank you.
So we're getting something. I say my name, say, and it just starts laughing at me. And some of the other stuff is unintelligible, but I mean, that was a pretty clear laugh, like it was mocking me. Then I took it out that night to the location, got nothing at the haunted location. Dude, there was dead silence. So it can't be the recording of the internal sounds or stray radio frequency, because it was late at night. If anything, I should have been picking up more radio frequency. Nothing came through. But in my room, we got that. So trust me, that was a hard pill to swallow to have to sleep in that room knowing something was in there mocking and laughing at me, Tim. I get that in life. Why do I need that shit when I'm, you know, sleeping? Our next story, Tim, okay, is an audio daily double. Are you ready for this, folks? Here's the headline for said story. Ghosts believed to make mischief in historic upstate public square. A ghost walk is now planned for that downtown area. Let's go ahead and listen to local WYFF Channel 4 NBC News.
Now to a ghost story that brings us to a historic public square in the upstate that's filled with restaurants and shops. Some say ghosts from the past continue to make mischief for the new business owners.
Pictures captured the days before cars, when carriages filled the public square in downtown Lawrence. The storefronts have changed, but businesses are still operating in these old buildings.
So where you're sitting is where the caskets used to be, because next door was a mortuary.
From caskets to coffee. Peggy Shikola owns the Coffee Roost. She's up early.
And if you're on the square, like I am, at 5:40 in the morning, sometimes you hear it. It's eerie.
She says the Lawrence area is known for its Cherokee heritage, and she believes that shuffling is an eerie echo of an earlier time.
In my humble opinion, it's ghost dancing. It's a slow shuffling sound meant to welcome in the sun.
She says early risers of today didn't get their flavored coffee one morning.
We had a heavy bookcase and it held 180 bottles of our various syrups.
And she believes a ghost is to blame.
All of a sudden the shelves broke in the middle of the night. All these bottles busted as they towered down. Boom, 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 boom. And I thought, well, maybe it's just, you know, things break, except that Roma's had all of their shelves collapse.
We headed to Roma's, an Italian restaurant down the square. This used to be the Wilkes Furniture Building. Restaurant staff told us about a ghost.
Every now and then he'll throw our baskets for our bread across the kitchen. You'll just see him fly.
Named Billy.
I always tell the new employees, always say hi to Billy so that way he doesn't pick on you.
They've seen Billy pick on the drinks behind the bar.
And it just went up. And it stood straight up, too, just like that.
Peggy says not much is known about Billy, but it's believed that he was a dancer. And she says another shelf came down in a clothing boutique, also on the square. Even the screws came out of the wall.
They just had all the clothing fall down off all of the racks. How does that happen?
Peggy is hosting a ghost walk, sharing more mysteries this month, taking people around the square, including to this spot.
Most haunted spaces on the entire square.
Where a person who she calls a lady of the night named Ella was killed.
But you can feel when you come in here, there's just a sadness in here.
Peggy is partnering with the South Carolina Paranormal Research and Investigations Group for the Ghost Walk. The group will offer what they believe are some explanations for ghost behavior.
They're just doing what they did in real life when they were alive. They're walking down the street. They're going to their favorite bar.
Peggy says while the stories about the square may seem a bit spooky, the ghosts don't seem to want to harm anyone. Instead, she says perhaps they simply want to remind people that the public square in downtown Lawrence is their home, too.
And the Lawrence Ghost Walk is happening on Friday, October 15th and Saturday, October 16th. You can sign up online. We have posted a link in this story on WYFF4.com.
Oh, thank you, WYFF. The weef.
The weef.
That sounds horrible.
It does.
Did you weef? Yes, I did. Twice. All right. Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, has a dark secret to share, Tim. Cassandra Peterson, known as Elvira, tells of some of her real-life hauntings that has plagued her and Star Wars star Mark Hamill. As Elvira, purveyor of puns and spooky sex appeal, Cassandra Peterson has literally draped herself in the macabre. The guided fans of a schlock and awe journey through horror cinema for 40 years is now telling in her new biography, Yours Cruelly, Elvira Memoirs of the Mistress of Dark. Peterson details her life before creating the Queen of Halloween and the wild ride after the fact. At times, the book reads like a Forrest Gumpian work of fiction as Peterson and Elvira encounter Elvis Presley and Johnny Carson, trains alongside fellow pop culture icon Paul Rubens, aka Pee Wee Herman, and befriends horror legend Vincent Price. She also met a ghost or two and lived in a haunted house once occupied by Star Wars Mark Hamill. The supernatural, paranormal, metaphysical, and other woo-woo topics are a recurring theme throughout Yours Cruelly. The very first lines of the book recount a visit to a palm reader when Peterson was just 17. She likewise details a paradigm-shifting discussion with the king of rock and roll about spirituality, religion, numerology, and astrology. Peterson was philosophically influenced by the self-actualization ideas and the power of your subconscious mind by Dr. Joseph Murphy and the science of mind by Ernest Holmes. And though forced to attend Sunday school as a child, Peterson doesn't identify as religious, but she does believe in a higher power. But it was at her Briarcliff Manor home in Hollywood Hills, California, that Peterson came face to face with the afterlife. After discovering the home in 1989, following nearly a decade as Elvira, Peterson happened upon the 21-room, 5,600-square-foot mansion built in 1910 while walking her dogs. She knew she had to own it, and once she did, things got strange. The very first day, they moved into Briarcliff Manor. It began with hearing footsteps from the empty third floor. From there, Peterson recounts in her book, she witnessed an apparition of a woman dressed in a 1930s-style nurse's uniform that warned she was going to take Peterson's sleeping ex-husband into the pool. Another time, she encountered the specter of a man in a period clothing sitting by the fire. Not only does Peterson report the house was the site of more than one suspicious death, including that of a Ziegfeld Follies girl who died in that pool and wasn't discovered until the next day, she tells of a dinner party attended by Mark Hamill. The Star Wars actor revealed he had lived in Briarcliff in the 1960s until one of his housemates died by suicide. Peterson tells Den of Geek in a recent interview, he drove in the gates and he just got out of the car and stood there and was going, "Oh my God, I can't believe it. This is the house I lived in when I was in college." Peterson said Hamill proceeded to drop this bomb about his roommate who died in the home. We told Mark all about what had been going on there, so he was fully aware of that, and he told us that story because we told him about all the creepy things that were happening. Peterson says, we were like, "Oh my God, please don't tell us that." Of course, it turned out to be a master bedroom closet right across from our bed. Despite her personal beliefs, the misadventures as Elvira, Peterson said she doesn't encounter the strange and unusual all the time. Even though she currently lives in a very creepy home that was previously the site of a horrible, horrible, violent death. However, she does recall a moment from her youth in the 50s, probably, that she ascribes to the paranormal. "When I was a kid, I was in my basement room," Peterson tells us. "I had a little closet next to the bed, and I'd always try to get my friends to do the Ouija board with me. But when they weren't around, I didn't have anybody to do it, and my sisters were completely not interested, so I started doing the Ouija on my own." Peterson says she would put her fingers on the board, and it would start zooming around. "I knew I wasn't doing it. I was the only one there." Peterson says that the board started talking about Salem, Massachusetts and the witch trials, as well as the name, this person, that person. Around third or fourth grade, Peterson decided she didn't want to engage any further because she didn't know who was moving the planchette on the board. "One night I freaked out," she said. "I took the board, threw it in my closet, slammed the door, got in bed, turned off the lights, and then I laid there freaking out for a while. And then as I'm ready to fall asleep, I hear the little planchette scratch, 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 scratching on the board in my closet." Peterson says she admits this could be the recollection of a child's imagination, but remembers sitting up the whole night, frozen in that spot, too scared to get up and open the closet door or to go anywhere near it. The next morning, she told her mom, Peterson's mom grabbed the board and planchette, threw them both in the backyard incinerator, burning them up. "I was really sad about it, but kind of relieved too." When this writer brings up the fact that Ouija boards, now owned by Hasbro at one point, were promoting their manufacture from Salem, Massachusetts, the mistress of dark replied, "Oh, seriously? That's bizarre." And that is a truly creepy tale from the Queen of Halloween. And you could go check out her book, Yours Cruelly. As a matter of fact, we have it in our Darkness Radio shop at Amazon. All you have to do is go to darknessradio.com, click on the store tab, go into our Amazon storefront, and in the paranormal section, you'll find Elvira's book. So make sure you go order that and check it out for yourself. Let's see here, Tim. We've got a couple other ones. Oh, this is fun. Everybody wants to get that perfect dream house, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember, nightmares are dreams too, my friend. When Ben Rocky Harris and Danielle Witt first came across a charming little bungalow for sale in a suburban Maryland last year, they thought it was picturesquely perfect. But shortly after they sealed the deal, they found out that their dream house had inspired one of Hollywood's greatest nightmares. "We discovered that in the 1940s, a teenage boy who lived there became possessed by a demon and an exorcism was performed," Rocky Harris told As It Happens host Carol Off. That became an article in the Washington Post. It got a Georgetown University undergrad's attention who wrote a novel, and that novel became The Exorcist. The house in Cottage City, Maryland, was once the home of Robbie Mannheim, better known by his pseudonym, Roland Doe. At the age of 14, Robbie claimed to be the victim of a demonic possession. According to newspaper reports at the time, the family reported strange occurrences in the house, inexplicably cold temperatures, tapping on the walls, objects moving of their own accord. Your standard horror film series of events, Rocky Harris quipped. The family later moved to St. Louis, Missouri, where the boy reportedly underwent a series of exorcisms. His story generated media buzz at the time and later inspired William Peter Blatty's 1971 paranormal novel, The Exorcist, and the 1973 horror film adaptation of the same name. The film, which swaps 14-year-old Robbie for 12-year-old Reagan, was a cultural sensation and is often cited as one of the greatest horror movies of all time. Since the film's debut, several psychiatrists and other skeptics have publicly speculated that Robbie was more likely a victim of undiagnosed mental illness than demonic possession. Nevertheless, the house still holds allure for horror fans and paranormal believers. Film buffs do stop by or slow roll the house to take a picture, Rocky Harris said. There's definitely a click around that film. The couple didn't know about the house's sinister history when they bought it. They were tired of getting their hopes up in a bonkers housing market, so they waited until they'd sealed the deal at Google with the neighborhood. We were a little shocked, a lot shocked, Rocky Harris said, and then we realized that the house was a great get. They've been living there for almost a year now, and they say they haven't noticed anything spooky. We joke that one of our cats, when he's attacking his own reflection in the hardwood floor, might be chasing a ghost or a Babadook. Oh, God, the Babadook. But it's just him hunting his own reflection, Rocky Harris said. As my wife has pointed out, demons possess people, not houses. Not true. Rocky Harris says they're not creeped out because they don't really believe in demonic possession. In fact, he says the Exorcist movie didn't scare him when he first saw it at the age of 14 anyway. I thought it was good. It didn't personally scare the bejesus out of me, he said. Bullshit. Still, you can never be too careful. When they first moved in, Witt and her friend decided to cleanse the house of any malevolent presences by burning sage. I drank a beer on the porch while they did it, and everything seems fine, Rocky Harris said. So imagine that. You buy a house and then find out it is the house that the movie and the book The Exorcist inspired. This next story, I'm just going to read the headline and the first place on it, Tim, because finally Minnesota comes in number one.
Okay.
These are the most haunted places in the Midwest, according to Yelp, Tim. October's here, and that means it's officially spooky season. If you and your friends have outgrown the annual haunted house in your hometown and you might be interested in visiting someplace with a reputation for real paranormal activity, well, the Midwest is home to some of the spookiest places in the country. From cursed restaurants to haunted hotels, Yelp tapped into its data to come up with 15 of the region's most haunted places to visit. The following list was compiled by identifying reviews that mention the term haunted and then ranking the sites based on several factors, including the total volume and ratings. Number one, Hell's Kitchen in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Oh, yeah. And one last thing. This place might be haunted or hell itself, because both my partner and I tried to take a video of the holograms in the restroom. Awesomely creepy. And neither of our videos came out. And the picture we took was dark. That's the shittiest review I've ever heard. Yeah, we tried to take a picture and it didn't come out. It's haunted. But at least it's not as creepy sounding as the next place, the Slippery Noodle Inn in Indianapolis, Indiana. Whoa. You have Jailhouse Pizza in Brandenburg, Kentucky. The Decker House Bed and Breakfast in Mason City, Iowa. Story Inn in Nashville. The Country House in Clarendon Hills, Illinois. The Old Talbert Tavern in Bardstown, Kentucky. The Elms Hotel and Spa in Excelsior Springs, Missouri. Fenton Hotel Tavern and Grill in Fenton, Michigan. And the Ohio State Reformatory in Mansfield, Ohio. Then there's the Old Town Tattoo in Chicago, Illinois. The Pfister, I hardly know her, Hotel in Milwaukee. The Golden Lamb in Lebanon, Ohio, the Shaker Cigar Bar in Milwaukee, and Shiro Restaurant in Novi, Michigan. For all of the Yelp reviews and stories surrounding those locations, go to Darkness Radio, click on the News tab, and there you will find everything you could possibly want to know about the Slippery Noodle and all of the other great places.
Hmm.
Our final story is here, Tim.
Okay.
A U.S. man is suing a psychic who promised to remove an ex-girlfriend's curse. Mauro Restrepo said Sophia Adams promised she could save his marriage if he paid $5,100 to exercise the spell, according to a fraud suit filed with the Torrance Superior Court. Ms. Adams allegedly told Mr. Restrepo that he and his family would be unhappy and in danger if this curse wasn't lifted. He's now seeking $25,000 in damages, including, among several other allegations made by Mr. Restrepo, are charges of negligence, civil conspiracy, and both intentional and negligent infliction of emotional distress. Mr. Restrepo said that he contacted Ms. Adams after searching for psychics on Google. Ms. Adams' website bills her as a psychic love specialist and PhD life coach, which the suit claims made plaintiff more confident that he was speaking with a professional that could help him. During the session, Ms. Adams read his tarot cards and told him he had a Mala Sutra, or bad luck, placed on him by a witch hired by his ex-girlfriend, and unless the curse was removed, it would ruin Mr. Restrepo, his children, and his marriage, the court papers say. Despite making an initial deposit of $1,000, Mr. Restrepo says that Ms. Adams did not in any way help his marriage, and he had been suffering from sleepless nights, anxiety, and anguish. The lawsuit also names as defendants Ms. Adams' husband, daughter, and landlords. How dare you, sir? You only gave her $1,000 of the $5,100. She only removed one-fifth of the curse.
Yeah.
You can't blame her. Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, defense attorney at law. We are available to be hired, but we have never practiced, nor have we ever gone to school. Bear that in mind when hiring. Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, defense attorneys at law.
We'll only be able to get you one-fifth of your verdict if you only pay us one-fifth of our retainer.
Right. Exactamundo, as Mr. Arthur Fonzarelli would say.
Yeah.
Hey there, Dave, and of course, simultaneously, Tim. I'm a longtime listener and also the surveyor who was able to gift you guys the Annabelle doll retrieved from the abandoned, burnt-down house. Me and my wife, Jessica, recently completed a journey of road-tripping the 48 connected states of the U.S. and our connecting neighbors. Our travels escalated into something bigger than we ever imagined, becoming a published book titled All 48 Drive Your Dreams, in which your amazing podcast kept us company throughout the nights. So from each of us darklings, thank you. Here's a true ghost story from our travels that we had to publish in our book. It was early afternoon and we were passing through Idaho. Who to ho, Tim?
Idaho.
That's right. Headed towards Yellowstone Park when we decided we were going to have to find a stop for the night and continue fresh in the morning. The stretch between destinations were far, and being unfamiliar with the areas on these massive road trips, we were accustomed to finding stops on the fly to fill the rest of our day and recharge. In this specific case, we were fascinated to learn of the North Blackfoot Rest Area connected to the former lava bed known as Hell's Half Acre. The place seemed fascinating, and with the Neowise comet passing overhead at the time, we figured we would fill our day with hiking and finish our night watching the light show in the sky. The day went smooth as our small family of three, myself, Jessica, and our 9-year-old son, Colt, exhausted ourselves hiking and learning the history of land. Here is where our story begins. I'm not going back in there. That place freaks me out, Jessica said, leaning against the front of the Tahoe outside the rest area, arms crossed. We had just used the bathroom for the night. Up until now, had been having a really great time. Well, what do you mean? I asked cautiously, worried I already knew the answer. It's too dark in there, she began. I was the only one in the restroom and it didn't feel right. Then I heard a weird noise.
Huh?
So I hurried and finished up. When I walked out of the stall, the dividing door that separates the two women's restrooms was slid open a foot and the other side was pitch black. I sighed. The same exact thing had just happened to me. The way the rest stop was constructed, there were two men's and two women's restrooms, each with multiple stalls. For whatever reason, a wooden sliding divider wall separates the middle of each restroom set. I had supposed for some cleaning purposes. Walking in on the left side with Colt, the first thing I noticed was how muggy and dark the room was. It was clean from what I could tell, but there was no airflow, and I had to use my cell light to just check the toilet. I was needing to use the stall while Colt just needed the urinal, so there I sat in the darkness, being secretly happy I had at least a 9-year-old to back me up. Dad? Colt's little voice crackled the silence. Yes, Colt. It's dark in here. Are you okay? Yes, Colt. It's kind of creepy. Yeah, but it's fine, Colt. I just don't really like it. Even, would it be okay if I just wait outside? Oof, I thought. That leaves me in here alone. Yeah, that's fine, Colt, I bluffed. Thanks, love you. And with that, the door slammed shut, and there I sat in the dark, wishing my phone signal was working inside the concrete walls so I could distract myself. That's when a low rolling noise started to my left. Something creaked, triggering the reflex that had me instantly turn on my phone light at my feet. I listened. A popping noise broke the silence. I finished up so that I could hurry and get back out to the death box of a bathroom stall, stepped out and shined my phone toward the direction of the commotion. The wooden dividing wall was now open 6 inches. I still needed to wash my hands and brush my teeth, but the sinks were located beside the dividing wall, and my cell phone wouldn't illuminate anything through that crack to the other side. The images of a hand snatching my wrist while my head was hovered above the sink, mouthful of toothpaste, was just too much to risk. I washed my hands in the farthest sink by leaning as far away as my long reach would allow, and after one last shine around the phone, I hurried out of the rest stop back to the rental. When I told Jessica my story, she shook her head. That's freaking ridiculous. She had built up steam from hearing my side. I'm not going back in there until daylight tomorrow. What if some weirdo is hiding out in there? Looking through the glass front of the old rest stop, the one lobby illuminated well enough I could tell no one left any of the four doors yet. I'm not really scared of crazy people, I thought out loud, just ghosts and ghouls. I'm going to go check it out. Jessica was not a fan of the idea, but I was ready for redemption. Colt came running behind me saying he'd come up with a phone light to make sure I was safe. I went into the men's door on the right and swung it open, making a mental note. If there was just a random person in there, I might just be the weirdo for barging in with accusations. With the phones lighting up the other dark half of the restrooms, all the stalls were clean with their doors wide open. The divider still cracked exactly like when I'd left it just minutes before, and there was no one else in the room. Well, that settles it, I said, turning to Colt by the shoulder and heading him back towards the exit door. We're brushing our teeth outside. Let's go. There you have it. I know it's not glamorous, but I can only relay how it went down. The same weird experience happening to both of us in different spots at the same time of a creepy old rest stop is just too good not to tell. I'd love for other listeners to check it out for themselves and tell us what they think. We love the show and always look forward to bringing you guys on the journeys with us, and can't wait for the day our travels overlap so that we can tag along on one of your international tours. Best, William and Jessica of the All 48. Well, congratulations on that travel and for a paranormal poop experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That's it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. Mark Anthony, our special guest. We're looking forward to this and be able to watch the video of that tomorrow night on our YouTube channel and social media channels. So make sure you check that out as well. For Tim Dennis, I'm Dave Schrader. You've been listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio.